Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. The gospel lesson today is from John 5. There's two options in the LSB lectionary, the three-year lectionary. You can do John 16, and last week was the first part of the John 16 lesson, and then this week was the second part. Or you can do John 5 this Sunday, which is what we selected. And what do we see? One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. Now, that is a long time. I would venture to say most of the people in our congregation have not lived 38 years. So you might not even be able to conceive of such a long time. Some of us are a little more ancient than others. 38 years is a long time. So he'd been an invalid for 38 years. And I want you to listen very closely and carefully to the interaction that Jesus had with this man. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." So when Jesus asked him if he wanted to be healed, would you say that the man responded in faith? I don't think so. I don't think so, because if he had responded in faith, he would have said, "Yes, 38 years I've been like this. Yeah, I want to be healed." But he didn't respond that way. Instead, he whined and complained about the circumstances he was in. "I can't get in by myself. Nobody will help me, and everyone cuts in front of me. Boo-hoo. I am sorry. I apparently am lacking the appropriate level of compassion." Okay. All right. Yes. Yes. We should be sympathetic. I should of all be more. And I am. I'm joking around. You know that I don't look at this man with such contempt as that. I really don't. 38 years he's been struggling. And yes, we should empathize with him, because there is this belief that in this pool, occasionally, some would say it's once a year, it's not very often, but it's occasionally an angel touches the water and stirs it. And the feeling is that if whoever gets into that water first is healed. So people hang out there all day waiting for the angel to stir that water. And there he is, this pathetic wretch that he is, standing by waiting, and the water stirs and he sees it, but he can't get down in time. And there's no one there that will help him get in. Anyway, aside from my lack of sympathy, the fact of the matter, and this is the pertinent detail that I want you to see, is that he did not receive Jesus' question with faith. He didn't see Jesus as someone who could heal him. Rather, he looked at the pool of water and believed that was the source of his healing. If he could just enter at the right time, if he could just get in time and be the first to get in there, but he can't. And so he's troubled. Now we know, and the story bears this out, that what that man needed was not water that was touched by an angel, not water that was touched by 1,000 angels. He needed the word of Christ. And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." What does the word of Christ do? Well, the word of Christ restores. And in this case, it restored the man and made him whole. There was no gradual healing. I mean, what happens when you're an invalid for 38 years, unable to walk, and all of a sudden you're healed? Don't you need to go through physical therapy and learn to walk all over again? No, Not in this case. Not when it's Jesus who has spoken a word of healing to you and caused you to be healed. He was an invalid no longer. Full ability he possessed immediately. He was restored to full strength. And moreover, the man was made whole. In fact, that's probably a better translation. This is another way that you could translate the word that is rendered as healing would be that he was made whole. In other words, he was created anew with full physical strength and cleansed of his sin. Now, our reading this morning stops at verse 9, but if we read further, you'd see that the man was accused of lawbreaking since he picked up his bed and it was the Sabbath. That was one of those things that was against the law. You couldn't pack up your bed and carry it with you on the Sabbath day. Not permitted. And yet this man was doing that. Now, all he could say when he's confronted by I think it was the Sanhedrin that confronted him. But all I could say is, look, the man who healed me, the man who made me whole, that's the man who said, take up your bed and walk. In other words, the one who exercised creative power, just as God created in the beginning, he's the one who I am obeying. Then later, Jesus found the man in the temple, and Jesus said, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Now, the inference is that in this case, and it's not always the case, you know, oftentimes someone has been, actually the question was put to Jesus before, who sinned that this man was born blind? And Jesus said, it's nobody that sinned that he was born blind. It's that the glory of God may be revealed. So oftentimes someone was beset with some illness or some infirmity and it had nothing to do with their sin. However, in this case, the inference is that it had everything to do with the man's sin because Jesus said, go and sin no more. And he wasn't saying, you know, he was connecting it to the man's infirmity. And now there's something else going on here. What is 38 years? What is the significance of 38 years? Other than that, it's a really long time. Now, it's not quite 40. 40 years, you would think, oh, well, that kind of sounds like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. But think about this. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Well, they left Egypt, and it was 40 years before they entered the Promised Land. But actually, if you track the time, it is 38 years from their grumbling to the point where that generation died out and the Israelites entered the Promised Land. So a lot of commentators, and it goes very far back to the 4th century, commented that this is connected, that this man represents this 38 years that Israel was wandered in sin. And this man was, you know, now whether that's in fact the connection or not that John intends in the gospel, it fits. The guy has been wandering in sin for 38 years as an invalid, and here he has been made whole and made clean. So what do we observe in all of this? What do you see? But that Jesus takes the helpless. And that's why I wanted to draw your attention to the fact that if he were to respond in faith, he would have said, yes, I want to be made whole. But he wasn't espousing any faith in Christ. But God's grace came to him in Christ, regardless of whether he expressed faith. It helps us to understand properly the way we express the Christian faith, that we're saved by grace through faith. We're not saved by faith. That's kind of, you know, that's a shortened expression. Sometimes we'll say that. Just yesterday, someone said to me, well, we're saved by faith. Well, nah, we're saved by grace through faith. Jesus expressed and showed God's grace to this man. Faith resulted after that. The man expressed his faith afterwards. That's what he's doing in the temple, giving thanks to God. But Christ came to and comes to the helpless, the one who is not whole, and he makes them whole. This man was physically helpless, an invalid, but he was spiritually helpless. And by the command of his word, Christ made the man whole, both physically and spiritually. Now, the early church saw this entire narrative as a picture of Christian baptism. And I think that's quite fitting. We baptize infants. Why do we do that? They can't speak for themselves. They can't express their faith. Why are we baptizing them? Well, because it is Christ who baptizes. When I say we, you know what I mean. I mean Christ. He's called pastors to baptize. He's called Christians to baptize. He's called the church to baptize. But it's God who's doing the baptism, and Christ comes to the helpless. Who's more helpless than a little baby who can't even speak for himself or stumble forward himself? Yes, Christ baptizes him. Now, we immerse, we sprinkle. It doesn't matter. Why? Because it's not the amount of water. It's the word of God spoken with the water. We don't need water from the Jordan River. We don't need water that's been touched by an angel. Even the tears of Jesus himself would not be any more efficacious in a baptism than ordinary old tap water, because it's the water connected with the word. But it is that word of Christ that comes to the helpless, that comes to the spiritual invalid like you and me, and works faith in us by giving us the promise of eternal life, which God gives, by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God's to give, and which God says, I give you in baptism. See Acts 2:42 or 1 Peter 3. It's that same word of Christ that spoke the world into creation, that created the world by speaking it into existence. That same word of Christ spoke wholeness into that man at the well, at the pool. Get up, take up your mat and walk. It's Christ's word that speaks wholeness. And it's the same word that he speaks to us, to each of you that has spoken life into you. That for his sake he has forgiven you of your sins. That for his sake he has atoned for your sins and won for you eternal life. You are baptized into Christ, God's own child. You may gladly say it. And in a moment, you will all gladly sing it. In life, we often do feel helpless. There's simply going to be in your life circumstances that are outside of your control. The fact of the matter is, and I'm sorry to say it, but the fact of the matter is you are relatively helpless. There's many things in this life that are totally outside of your control. Absolutely outside of your control. We are helpless. And this is especially and most especially acute in your spiritual condition. That's why we baptize infants, because they can die. They're every bit as much of a sinner as any one of you is. In sin did my mother conceive me. From the womb, a child is sinful. So our spiritual condition is absolutely one of utter helplessness. You know, the expression sometimes that's been used is that people try and struggling and wrestling with this idea of being saved by God's grace through faith and, you know, But then what about, aren't I making a decision for Christ? And that struggle goes on, and people trying to resolve that. I've heard this expression that, well, you know, it's like you were drowning in the water and the life ring was thrown to you and you're going down and falling in the water, and at the last bit, that life ring hits and you grab it and God pulled you up out of the water. And that's pretty good, you know, but not really right. I mean, it's close. The better way to look at it is this. You were dead at the bottom of the river. You were fish food. That's a better way to look at it. But Christ's word is creative and powerful, and Christ's word has spoken life into you and said, you are not merely a helpless sinner. You are a redeemed, baptized child of God. I claim you as my own, and I will not lose any of the sheep that have been given to me. Now we can relax a little bit. Now you are set free to what? Live a life of debauchery? Let's try your hardest. God will not let you do that. You won't want to do that. Why would you want to do that? He's made you his own. Now you are set free to love, to serve your neighbors, whether they appreciate it or not, whether the godly work that you do in life goes noticed or unnoticed. Let the chips fall where they may. You are all set free because Christ has created you anew. You have been born again, born from above, born of water and the Spirit. You are his beloved child. As we sing, and will sing momentarily, Satan, hear this proclamation. I am baptized into Christ. Drop your ugly accusation. I am not so soon enticed. Now that to the font I've traveled, all your might has come unraveled. And against your tyranny, God, my Lord, unites with me. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.